Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Hasuya Kekushin. Rabbi Yochanan speaks about a sukkah that was made round like an oven. As we had learned at the end of the previous shiur, the Acherim had taught us that a sukkah that's round like a chicken nest, chicken coop, is disqualified. Teaches us, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Manda Omrim, that disagree with the Acherim, what will be the status of such a sukkah that is round? How big must it be? However, the Ritva and the Aruch Lener seem to teach us that even according to the Acherim, who disqualify a round sukkah, the sukkah Rabbi Yochanan is discussing, they will agree is kosher. Because, explains the Aruch Lener, when did the Acherim say that a round sukkah is disqualified? That's only when the sukkah is of this minimum dimension of Zayin Tefachim by Zayin Tefachim. However, the sukkah that we're discussing in today's shiur, as we will learn, is a larger sukkah. It's a sukkah that follows the shiur of Dalet Amis by Dalet Amis. Such a sukkah, says Aruch Lener, even the Acherim will hold as kosher. And he says a very nice raya. The Acherim, when describing a round sukkah, used the word shoivach. Rabbi Yochanan, when describing a round sukkah, uses the word kifshon. If they're both talking about the same round sukkah, the Rashi seems to think that they are, why don't they use the same word for round sukkah? It must be because Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about a larger sukkah, where there everybody will agree it's kosher. Masha Enkein, however, a smaller sukkah is the area of which they have an argument over. So Al Gemara says that a round sukkah is kosher, and the question is, what are the dimensions? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Im yesh ba kefai, if around is a circumference, there's enough room, k'day leisha by esem v'arbim ne'adam, that 24 people could sit around the sukkah, k'sheira, then it's kosher. Memlav, but if there isn't room for 24 people, psula, then the sukkah is kosher, is possible. The Magen Avraham teaches us that even according to the Shittas, that a sukkah, the Zayin al Zayin Tfachim, or whatever measurement, says the Magen Avraham, let's say a sukkah is built in such a way where the sukkah, the main part of the sukkah, has the requisite shear. But there's an alcove, a small area in the sukkah, which is sort of not contiguous with the rest of the sukkah. If that area on its own, says the Magen Avraham, does not have the shear of Zayin and Zayin Tfachim, then the sukkah is that area you can't sit in. Says the Bikuri Yaakov, what's going to be the halacha on a round sukkah? A round area, by definition, is not straight walls. There are areas that protrude around the circle. Well, that those areas fall under the status that the Magen Avraham says one may not sit in the sukkah. Says the Bikuri Yaakov, certainly even the Magen Avraham would agree that anywhere in a round sukkah one may sit. Since the entire area is one contiguous area, albeit it's not with straight walls, it's considered one area, that all of it is considered kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, who just taught us that it has to have a circumference in which 24 people could sit around the perimeter of the sukkah, that is the round sukkah that's kosher, come on. According to whose shita does this go? Says the Gemara, Karebi. Rabbi Yochanan is holding like Rebbe. Dama kol sukkah she'ein by Abba al Abba Amis, psula. Any sukkah, the minimum size of a sukkah is 4 amis by 4 amis. Michti. Says the Gemara, Gavra ba'amsa Yosef. Every person takes up an amma. We have a rule, says the Gemara. Kol she'esh be'kefe shlosh tfachim. Any area, any round area, that has a circumference of 3 tefachim, yesh by roichav tefach, will have a diameter of a tefach. Ask the Gemara, if so, if we need a diameter or the sides of the wall should be 4 tvachim to achieve such a size, trace a sagi will have a circumference of 12, we'll have a diameter of 4, because 12 divided by 3 equals 4. So ask the Gemara, if we're trying to accomplish that the sukkah should have the dimensions which Rebbe required, the dimensions of 4 amos by 4 amos, those dimensions could be achieved with a circumference of 12. Why do we have to have a circumference of 12 amos? Why do we have to have a circumference of 24? Rashi explains, how do we know that the circumference, that the area, the circumference ratio to diameter is 3 to 1? So Rashi says, because we learn it from a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The pasuk in Divrei Yomim says that Shlomo Melech made a round area, and it says that the circumference was 30 and the diameter was 10. So we see that the ratio is 3 to 1. Actually, Rashi says that we know that the ratio is not really 3 to 1. The ratio is 3.14 to 1. However, Chazal weren't exact, and they used round numbers, and that's why they used the number of 3 to 1. In fact, the Gra has a raya from the Pasuk that we should use the 3 to 1 round number. He says, the Pasuk, which Rashi quotes, Yam she'osa shloima, esa be'amas svasoy el svasoy, it had a diameter of 10, Ogel Soviv, it was a round room, the Kav Shloshim Ba'ama Yosef Oisai Soviv. It was a 30 Amma circumference for a 10 Amma diameter. Says the Gro. The Kri is the Kav. Kav is Begematria 106. The Ksiv is Kavo, Kuf Vav Hei, which is 111. If you look at the difference between 111 and 106, it's the difference between 3.14 and 3. The Pasuk is teaching us between the difference in the Kri and the Ksiv that we can use round numbers. As the Rishonim, here we're saying that every person takes up an Amma. But we know that when speaking about a minimum mikveh, the minimum size of a mikveh has to be an amma by an amma by height of 3 ammas. Ask the Rishonim, if our Gemara is teaching us that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah, the minimum area that a person takes up is an amma, how could a person fit into a mikveh that is an amma by an amma if he takes up an amma? So the Mefarshim answer, Rishonim answer, two answers. Number one, when a person goes into a mikveh, he goes undressed, so therefore he takes up less room. Furthermore, here we're speaking about a person sitting. When a person goes into the mikveh, he's standing, and a standing a person takes up less room in the width than when he's sitting, that he takes up more room, and that's why our Gemara says that the person takes up an amma. That's not necessarily the case when he's standing in a mikveh. But back to the Gemara's question. The Gemara is saying that even if we hold like Rebbe, and the fact that Pnei Yeshua asks, the fact that Rebbe Yochanan said his din based on Rebbe's psak, that the minimum size of a sukkah is 4 amos, shouldn't that be an indication that we paskin like Rebbe? Yet we've been saying that the minimum size of a sukkah is Zayin Tfachim, says the Pnei Yeshua, based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that as Tosfos taught us, that since the Gemara says, Kula Svirle Sukkah Dearest Kfa'abinen, and as Tosfos explained, wherever the Gemara uses such a terminology, it comes to teach us we don't pask in that way. So we said that that's an indication we don't agree with Rebbe. So even though Rebbe Yochanan, who we normally follow, is obviously saying his psak based on Rebbe Shita, we still do not follow Rebbe Shita, and we still hold that the minimum amount of a sukkah is Zayin Tfachim. But even if we hold that the minimum size of a sukkah is Dalet Amos, why do we need a sukkah with a circumference of 24? Even a sukkah just would have a circumference of 12 would be enough. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili bi gula, if we're looking at a circle, that would be correct. However, here, Aval bribua baitfei, here we're looking at a square, as the top diagram in the Gemara here seems to indicate that there's a square around the circle, and since we have a square around the circle, we need more room for the extra corners that the square has around the circle. So the Mefarshim attempt to say that this should be a proof to a machloikis that we discussed last week. Last week we discussed a machloikis, the Rambam in a Rosh. If a room which is circular is mechuyev b'mezuzah, the Rambam said if it has the dalet amos or dalet amos, even though the room is shaped as a circle, it's obligated to have a mezuzah. The Rosh disagreed. Say the Mefarshim, isn't this Gemara a proof that a room always has to be a square? Because although our Gemara seems to be saying that although we have a sukkah which is circular, it has the right dimensions, still we have to always look for a square to be mechuyev in a sukkah. So Gemara Avram explains that the machloikas regarding Hilchas Mezuzah and the issue regarding sukkah do not necessarily travel together. Regarding mezuzah, the Torah speaks about a bayis. And a bayis could be circular also. A person could live in a round room. However, regarding a sukkah, as we've said, the requirement is that it have proper walls. And around round walls are not considered that the area is enclosed by partitions, which is the definition of a sukkah. And therefore, our Gemara says for us to be able to consider a round sukkah, a sukkah, we have to apply to it straight walls around it. Says the Gemara, Michti. Let's understand. Kama merubah yasal igel. If somebody had a circle and he wanted to draw a square around the circle, how much extra must he add? Ravi, a quarter. So b'shitzasagi. So even if we're saying that we want to put a square around the circle, and the circle is a circle with a circumference of 12, if we add a quarter, it'll still only be 16. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan began the shir by saying that we need a circumference of 24. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili b'igul d'nofik mikoy ribuah. That's when we want to put a square around the circle. That means we have a circle inside the square. Avol riboy d'nofik mikoy igula. If we're putting a circle around the square, as is shown in the second diagram on this Amid, Bayitfei, then we need more, Mishamursha the Karnasa, because we need the area of the protrusion of the corners that the circle protrudes past the sides of the square. Says the Gemara, let's understand that dimension. Michti, the way to understand what will be the circumference of a circle that's drawn around a square that has the dimensions of 4 amas by 4 amas is as follows. Kol amsa b'ribua. Every amma of the side of the square, amsa v'trei chum shebalachsona, is an amma and 2/5 in the diagonal of the square. That means the diagonal of a square is 1 2/5 more than every amma on the sides of the square. So if we have a square whose sides are 4 amas long, then the diagonal of that square will be 4 times 1.4. And again, as we said before, it's not an exact number, it's a round number. So a diagonal of a square which is 4 by 4, the diagonal of that square is 5 3/5, or 5.6. As we started the shear, we said that the circumference of a circle is three times its diagonal. So if the diagonal here is 5.6, the circumference is 16.8. B'shifser nechi chemshisagya, 17 minus a fifth. So how come we said 24? Answers the Gemara, loidok. The Gemara wasn't, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't exact in the number he gave. Although the number is 16.8, it should have been 24. Even though he said 24, it's really 16.8. Ask the Gemara, Eimer d'amrina loidok, when did Chazal say that we don't follow an exact number? Purta. We round off the number. Tuva. However, to say from 16.8 to 24, mi'amrina loidok, that we're not being precise. And Ramesha actually uses this Gemara, two points that we already made, that when we spoke about the circumference versus the diagonal, that it's really 3.14 to 1, yet our Gemara uses the number 3 to 1. Similarly, when we spoke about the diagonal of a square being 1.4 versus the sides, when it's really now 1.4, it's really 1.1414. And we said the Chazal use round numbers. Says Ramosha, this is relevant la locha lemaisa. The locha, for example, Ramosha says, is that tefillin have to be an exact square. Ask Ramosha, does one have to use a very precise instrument to determine that the tefillin are indeed a square? Says Ramosha, just like we see in our Gemara, that Chazal used round numbers. Similarly, when one is making sure that his tefillin is a square, it doesn't have to be that precise. Or, says Ramosha, the halach is that we're not allowed to eat vegetables that have in them taloim, that have in them worms or other organisms. Says Ramosha, we don't have to take a vegetable and put it under a microscope. Just like we find in our Gemara, the Chazal weren't so exact. Similarly, we have to live a normal life and look at the vegetable, and if it seems clean, that's adequate. Because as Reb Chaim used to say, if we're going to take that approach, isn't the ear full of organisms? So how can we breathe the ear? Like nitna tayra l'malachi asharis. The tayra was given to live in a normal way. But back to our Gemara. Where do we come to have this configuration of 24 people? Amle makshish b'reid of chizler v'ashi, mi savrit. The whole basis of our Gemara was, we said, because we assumed that every person takes up an amma. That's not an exact number. Actually, tlosa gavri betarti amsi yasfi. Three people could sit in two amma. So kama havelhu. So now, how much is it? Shitzer, because we have 24 people sitting there, and if so, we two thirds of 24 is shitzer. Yet we just said a non shifser nechi chumshabinin. We said we need 16.8. Says the Gemara loydok. That's what the Gemara meant. We said 24, which really defines itself into 16 when we put it as a circle around the square. Really, it meant, that's what it meant. Says the Gemara, Eimer d'amrina loydok, when the Chazal say that we're not careful with the number, we could use a round number, l'chumra. We go to a higher number, l'kula mi'amrina l'idok. However, do we use this concept of l'idok, l'kula, when it should be really more and we say less? So this tarot, says the Gemara, cannot stand. Amalei Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Ashi, l'oilam gavra ba'amsi Yosef. Actually, every person sits in an amma, as we began the shiur with. Rabbi Yochanan Mokum Gavri Kloik Choshev. However, when Rabbi Yochanan was making his calculation, he wasn't considering the people being inside the circle. Rather, he was describing a situation where the people were sitting outside the sukkah. So if we have a circle of 24 people sitting around it, then we have a diameter of 8. However, if we consider the area inside of where the people are sitting, so we inside the sukkah, So then the diameter will be 6. And if we triple that diameter, because as we said, the formula of circumference versus diameter is always 3 to 1, we will now have 18. And now it's closer to what we said. Kamala Havilhu, says the Gemara, it's 18. Again, because we have the circle with 24 people around it. Then we said we have a diameter of 8. But if each person takes up an amma, and we're taking the people out of the consideration, so we take an amma off each side, we're down to a diameter of 6, triple it by 3, and we have 18. Ask the Gemara, but 18 is too much. 16.8 we said was enough. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Hanud loydok. That's what it meant, he wasn't careful. L'chumra loydok, he went l'chumra. It really could have been enough to say 16, but he spoke about a sukkah who has, which really is 18, just to be l'chumra. And like the Rishonim explained, we always want to go l'chumra, because to have a bigger sukkah is certainly better. You certainly don't have any shayla. Ask the Mefarshim. The Ritva asks, even if we're saying that we're being imprecise and we round off numbers, so we didn't want to use the round the number of 16.8, we round it off. But why do we round off 16.8 to 18? We should have rounded it off to 16, to 17. Explains the Ritva. Why do we always want to work with round numbers? Because it's easier to calculate. If Rabbi Yochanan would have rounded off to 17, when we divide 17 by 3, we don't have a whole number. That's why the Gemara rounded it off to 18. When we divide 18 by 3, we end off with a whole number of 6. And as we explained, as the Ritva explains, Chazal always wanted to work with whole numbers. There's an interesting shaila that the Sefer Chinuch and others discuss. We're actually saying that the Gemara, the numbers Rabbi Yochanan used and other Tanaim used, were not exact. For example, in our Gemara, although the number the Gemara is using 18, it should have really been 16.8. Ask the Chinuch, when one is building a sukkah, which number should he use? Should he use the real number that we know it's really 16.8? Or should he use the number that the Gemara used, 18? So the Chinuch says, you should use the real number. The Tashbatz, however, says that you should use the number the Gemara uses, even though we know it's not accurate. Explains the Chazon Ish, the Tashbatz, that this falls under what we explained earlier in the Perek, that Shiurim v'chatzitzim are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Just like the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai establishes what the Shiurim are, even though we may think different, so too when the Gemara says that the shear is 18, when maybe we should really know it's 16.8, Chazal tell us to follow that number under all circumstances. Says the Mishnah Berurah LaHalacha, when dealing with the Rabbanon, we follow the number Chazal, the Gemara, gives us, on whether it's Lekula or Lechumra. However, when dealing with a shayla of a deraisa, says the Mishnah Berurah, if it's a chumra to use the number the Gemara uses, we follow the Gemara's number, even though we know it's not accurate. If, however, it's a kula to use the Gemara's number, for example, our Gemara, then we follow the right number, even though it's not exactly the number that the Gemara used. The Gemara attempts one more way of explaining Rabbi Yochanan's rule. Rabbanan de Kisri, Vamaran le Dayana de Kisri Amre, Igula de Nafik Megoy Ribua River. A circle and a square has a circumference which is 1/4 less than the perimeter of the square. Explained on top of the Amid that the square that's drawn around the circle is 1/4 larger than the circumference of that circle. However, they say, Ribuya the Nafik Migoy Igula, Igula Palga. When we have a square inside a circle, it's smaller by 1/2 than the circumference of the circle of the square in which it is inscribed. In other words, the circle around that square is 1.5 times larger than the square inscribed in it. So if the perimeter of the square we're discussing is 16, because it's dalet al dalet amos, so 1.5 times 16 is 24. However, says the Gemara, v'loihi, this is not true, the kachazinen, because we actually see, we could see by ourselves, the circumference of the circle around the square is not so much larger than the square inscribed in it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Levi Mishum Rameya, Shtei Sukkah Shoyotzrim Zulufnim Zu. If the two huts are patters, one within the other. The common practice were for patters to live in structures that had two huts, one in front of the other. The inner hut would be where the patter actually lived, and also where he worked, and where he stored his pottery, and the outer place would be where it was just like an entrance to the inner pattern. Says the Gemara, Hapnimius, the inner hut is not a kosher sukkah, ain't a sukkah, but on the other hand, chayevus b'mezuzah, since it's a real home, it's mechuyev in mezuzah. On the other hand, chitzoina, the outer one, is a sukkah, it's a kosher sukkah, uptur min a mezuzah, but it's exempt from a mezuzah. Explains Rashi that although we hold, like Beis Hillel, that we will learn about tomorrow, that a sukkah does not have to be built to be used for a sukkah, we do, however, require that the person who's there is living there for the sake of the mitzvah. However, in this case of the patter, who uses the hut the entire year for other uses, eating, sleeping, working, it's not obvious that he's living there l'shem sukkah, and that's why he's potter. And that's why you cannot use it as a sukkah. Says the Gemara, v'mai, why is the outer hut potter from the mezuzah? Why should the outer hut be considered like a gatehouse for the inner hut? Because the halacha is that a gatehouse is mechuyev b'mezuzah. Answers the Gemara, mishum d'loy kviya, because it's not permanent. So the machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, how to explain this? Rashi seems to explain that the inner hut, although, as we just explained, it's where the potter lives, it's not really a full-fledged dira. And since it's not really a full-fledged dira, it can't be so strong that it should obligate the gatehouse to such an area to be mechuyev in mezuzah. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam learns the other way, that the issue is not with the inner home, the issue is with the outer home. Yes, says the Rambam, a beishar is mechuyev b'mezuzah, but that's when it's a real beishar. However, when it's not a real beishar, as this outer hut is very impermanent, and therefore it's potter from mezuzah. There's a machloikis hapoiskim. If somebody makes a sukkah in his home, that means he takes off the roof that's there all year round, and he puts on tzchach. What's going to be the status of that room regarding an obligation for mezuzah during sukkah? Because as we explained, the sukkah is a diras arai and is not mechuyev in mezuzah. The Prima Gadim says that that room, although it's mechuyev in mezuzah all year, during sukkahs will be potter. However, the Shari Tshuva and the Pesachei Tshuva quote many paiskim that say, since this is a room and it's a room all year round, it's mechuyev b'mezuzah. Tana Rabbanan, gambach. Sukkahs that are under category of gambach, which are sukkahs goyim, sukkah of a goy, sukkahs noshim, sukkahs goyim means a sukkah made by goyim. Sukkahs noshim means a sukkah made by women, both who are not obligated in mitzvah sukkah. Sukkos Behema. So most Mepharshim explain Sukkos Behema that the sukkah was made on behalf of animals. However, the Gulyoni Shas explains that that's inconsistent with the other types of sukkahs that are being mentioned here. Sukkos Kohen, we say, was a sukkah made by a goy. Sukkos Noshim, we said, is a sukkah made by a woman. Sukkos Behema, Sukkos Kutim, the next type we're going to speak about is a sukkah made by Kutim. So the Behema should also, says the Gulyoni Shas, mean a sukkah made by an animal. Sukkah mikomukum, any type of sukkah. We'll explain soon what the Brisa means with that. Ksheir is kosher. Uvachtem is sukkachas klochosoi, provided that it's, the schach was put on properly. Ask the Gemara, Michael Chosoi, why does it mean that it was, the sukkah was, the schach was put on properly? Amar of Chizda says of Chizda, Vush oslet sail, that it was built, because as Rashi explains, it can't mean that when the Brisa says, that it has to have all the halachas of schach, that it has to be tzilsim rubim mechamsa and all the other requirements that schach has to have. Because that's obvious. Says the Gemara, what does the chilchosa mean? Amr of Chizda, v'husha asol l'tzel sukkah. When you put on the schach, it has to be put on l'shein tzel, that it should serve as an area that provides shade. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch based on this Gemara says that when one puts on the sukkah, the proper thing to do when he puts on the schach is to have in mind that he's putting on the schach l'shem mitzvah, that it should be for shade. Rashi says that that's what the Braisa means when it says kilchosoi, that we look at the schach, it should be obvious that it was put there for shade. And the Aruch HaNer says that according to Rashi, if we'll have schach that was not put on for the sake of shade, and then I just put on more schach that I do put on for the sake of shade, it will still be disqualified. All of the schach that was not put on l'shem tzel has to be removed, and the right schach has to be put on. We said in the Braisa, sukkah mikom mokom, l'suya mai, what does that come to include? It says the Gemara, l'suya sukkahs ragbash. The Tanna Rabbanan, sukkahs ragbash. What is sukkahs ragbash? Sukkahs aroyim, sukkahs of shepherds that would watch their flocks in huts, that they would sit in huts to protect themselves from the heat. Sukkahs kayotzen, a sukkah of people watching the figs, which are spread over the fields to dry. Sukkahs burgenin, the sukkah of the city watchmen. Sukkahs shemri peris, the sukkah of the people who watch the produce. Sukkah mikamakayim, ksheira, uvachtem sukheches kilchasoi. And the Gemara repeats, my kilchasoi. What does the Braisa mean with the words kilchasoi? Amram chizda vushas lotzel, that has to be made for shade. Sukkah masam makam masuimai. Again, this Braisa used the word sukkah mikam makam. What is those words mikam makam coming to add? Says the Gemara, l'suya sukkahs kambach. So the way we have it is we have two Braises. One Braisa speaks about sukkahs rakbash and adds the sukkahs kambach. And one Braisa speaks about the sukkahs kambach and adds with mikam makam the sukkahs rakbash. What is the Braisa teaching us? Says the Gemara, hi tana kambach. The Braisa that spoke explicitly about the Gambach, Goyim, Noshim, Behemoth, Kutim, Alimelei Gambach, hold that Gambach is more of a sukkah, Mishim Tekaviyah, because they're permanent sukkahs. V'katana Mekamokim, and then he adds the words Mekamokim, L'suya Rakbash, to teach us that even the sukkahs that are Rakbash, the Loikvi that are not that permanent, are also acceptable. But what's better? Gambach. Why is Gambach better? Because it's Kvi. Ask the Chacham Shlomo. We just finished speaking in the previous year, and we mentioned it in our shir today also, that in a sukkah, a dearis arai is preferable. And here we're saying that Kvi, that a permanent structure is better. Answers the Chacham Shlomo. When is a dearis arai preferable? When the sukkah was made, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. But the sukkahs that we're describing in today's shir are sukkahs that were not made, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. And therefore, it's better that it should be at least kvi, it should be at least permanent. V'hai tana, and the Brice that mentioned Ragbash says Ragbash, Ali Malay Ragbash, the sukkah Ragbash is considered more of a sukkah because the B'nai Chiyuvininu, all the people using it are people who are obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. V'tana mekam mokim, and then he adds, v'kam mokim, l'suya gambach, to speak about a suya gambach, which Allah B'nai Chiyuvininu, which is sukkah for people who are not obligated in the sukkah, noshim, goyim, kutim. As Tosfos explains, our Gemara obviously holds that kutim are geiri arayus, they're not full-fledged Jews, and therefore they have the same status as goyim, and they're not really mechuyiv in a sukkah. The Tosfos later in the Masechta asks that Rabbeinu Tam teaches us that women should not make tzitzis. Since women are not obligated to wear tzitzis, they should not make the tzitzis. Ask Tosfos, so how come a sukkah made by a woman is kosher? A sukkah is women are parted from sitting in a sukkah and mitzvah saseishas man grama. So the Chassam Sofer answers that by tzitzis there's a mitzvah to make the tzitzis. Therefore, women who are not obligated in wearing tzitzis shouldn't make them. On the other hand, sukkah, says the Chassam Sofer, there's no mitzvah to make, and therefore women can make sukkah, there's no mitzvah to make a sukkah, therefore women can build a sukkah. The Chacham Shloimeh says that certainly there is a mitzvah to make a sukkah, however by making a sukkah there is no din, there is no rule that it has to be made l'shma. However, tzitzis, not only is there a mitzvah to make tzitzis, it's a mitzvah that it should be made l'shma. That's why women may not make tzitzis, but they can make a sukkah. The Chassam Sofer's answer that there is no mitzvah to make a sukkah is very relevant la'aloch l'maisa. Because what will be the din when we have these sukkahs that are made by the goyim, by the noshim, by the kutim? Or even if it's made by a regular Jew, by a godel? Is there a concept of mitzvah by Yosef B'Shluchai? According to the Chochmah Shloimeh, that there's a mitzvah to make a sukkah, so everybody should at least try to participate in building the sukkah, which would mean everybody should participate in putting the schach on the sukkah. But if on the other hand, the Chassam Sofer teaches us there's no mitzvah to make a sukkah, so there's no concept of mitzvah by Yosef B'Shluchai, and one can rely on someone else to make the sukkah, provided that it's made l'shem tzeil, it's made for shade. Davni Nezer says that even though we're learning in our Gemara that the sukkah has to be made for shade, so if a child makes the sukkah, and as we know a cotton doesn't have das, so how could the sukkah be kosher? If a cotton makes a sukkah, he doesn't have das, that it should be, he doesn't have the ability to have the proper intention that it should be made for shade. Says the Avdi Nezer that if an adult tells a child to make the sukkah, and the adult has in mind that the sukkah should be made l'shem tzeil, for shade, his intent, when the child carries out his request, is acceptable. Our Gemara said that the sukkah made by a goy is acceptable, and this could have very relevant halachic ramifications. The Paiskim discuss what would be the halacha if one sukkah fell down on Yontif or on Shabbos Chol Hamoed, Shabbos Yontif, where one can't rebuild a sukkah, not allowed to build on Shabbos Yontif. Is he allowed to have a goy rebuild the sukkah for him? Because although the halacha of course is that one may not ask a goy to do a malacha on his behalf on Shabbos Yontif, that's only by malacha from which I'm deriving pleasure. But here, I'm asking him to build a sukkah in order that I should be able to be mekayim mitzvahs yeshiva sukkah. And we know that throughout halacha, there's a concept of mitzvahs lav lahenes nitnu. When one's mekayim a mitzvah, he's not doing it for pleasure. So when I'm asking a guy to do the malacha for me, or building the sukkah, I'm not really deriving any pleasure. And perhaps I should be allowed to sit, to ask the guy to build a sukkah. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein paskins that if a guy, one should not ask the guy to build a sukkah if it falls down on Shabbos Yontif, but if the guy actually built the sukkah for him, you could sit in the sukkah, and perhaps even on the first night of Yontif, where there's a specific mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, one may even be allowed to ask a guy to make the sukkah for him. Another shiloh was asked to Rebbe Yoshev. Let's say part of one's schach came down on Yontif, on Shabbos. So certainly one can't put the schach back on, because that would be building, which is also in Shabbos Yontif. But what this person wants to do is put on, let's say, a piece of plastic that we explained earlier, that under certain circumstances, if there's posel schach next to the wall, we could say doifin akuma. So the person just putting on a piece of plastic could set up a situation that we could apply doifin akuma. Will that be mutter? So Rebbe Yoshev says that to accomplish doifin akuma through the work of a goy is permitted, but to accomplish doifin akuma through what a Jew will do would be aser. Because if we're going to employ the halachic concept of doifin akuma, the halachic concept of doifin akuma says I'm building a wall, and a Jew is not going to build a wall on Shabbos or Yontif. So therefore, we should, if we want to accomplish doifin akuma on Shabbos or Yontif, we should ask a guy to do it, not a Jew.